You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? I'm Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if you told it.
Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way because you are listening to The Movie Show.
What is up?
Hey, how's it going?
This is The Movie Show.
On The Movie Show.
On The Movie Show. I'm Sesh.
My name's Ryan.
And we are finally reviewing a movie.
Gran Turismo. Which is kind of a game, actually.
And technically,
too.
And like, what is it? Formula One? What is it considered as?
Racing.
Car racing. Yes. Racing. There we go. The much beloved car racing of Ryan, right?
Gaming.
Right, Ryan?
Gaming stuff.
No.
No.
How much you love watching Formula One.
Yeah. The beginning and the end.
The beginning and the end. Okay, so Gran Turismo is a film that came out last year. Was it last year or this year? I feel like it's very blurry. Those films that kind of come out you're not sure. Was it 2023? Was it 2024?
No, it was 23.
23. Okay, so 2023, but it definitely was the end of last year. And it came out on Netflix, and I thought it was very good.
It was cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I think I did see a review where the person was actually saying that the fact that this is a true life story based on a true life story.
Cool.
Helped it. So like, if it hadn't been a true life story and it was just kind of like a standalone film or an original screenplay type of thing, then like, it probably was an original screenplay, but it was fictional, then they were like, it probably wouldn't have been as but they
would have been like great story. Imagine it really happened. Wouldn't that be great?
It would have been like, that would never happen. But I think it definitely helped the film. But then also, I don't know if you found this, like, I remember we did what was that movie called where it was the guy that took the video game. Oh my goodness.
Ready Player One.
No, it was based on a true life story with Taron Egerton. I can see it. He went to Russia. Tetris, thank you.
Wasn't it Tetris?
Wow, Tetris. So Tetris was also based on a true life story, and like, but what they did with it was they dramatized it. So like, there are certain things within Tetris that didn't actually happen, but I feel like they added it because otherwise, you know, it wouldn't have been that interesting type of thing. So they've done the same with Gran Turismo. So it's based on a true life story, but they've had to like, you know, where they just have to add like drama and action and
bit of spice.
Yeah, like a bit of spice. So like, apparently in the film, he has a very strained relationship with his father, and that apparently was not a thing. Like, that just didn't happen in real life. So like, they, and even in the film, like, like, there's a certain part where he stops speaking to his parents. Like, he becomes uncontactable. That apparently also like didn't happen. There's even two characters within the story that were fictionalized. So Orlando Bloom and David Harbour both act in the film, and their two characters,
I like both of their characters.
Yeah, they were very cool. Yeah. But their two characters they're not true people. They were based off of like certain figures within what actually happened. So there's like,
and it was the first time that I heard a British person say Nissan,
right? Actually,
the way they said it, I was like, oh,
like, oh, okay,
was that Nissan?
Okay. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. How did you find Orlando Bloom's acting? Because he's not really like
cool.
Yeah, his character was not the usual Orlando Bloom character, you know,
trying to take him professionally.
Yeah. Like this professional salesman.
Because he was very, it was good.
Yeah.
It was very,
because like, I think about Orlando Bloom, we know him from like Pirates of the Caribbean. He was Will? What was his surname? Whatever.
Will Turner.
Turner, thank you.
When he was very, like, very passionate about the whole gaming and turning, you know, taking these, you know, the whole gaming thing into the real car thing. Like, I felt sitting on this side of the screen, like watching it, I was like, wow, he's quite passionate about this. So I got that from him.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good, because there was that passion. And then obviously you see how he gets approached and, okay, cool, you know, we'll give you a shot. How his face even lighter, he's like, you know, what? So... Yeah.
What? Very yeah. Good. Yeah. So I did enjoy it. And then David Harbour, I enjoyed him very much. And I think he did a good job.
He was the
But he had like a nice, like often he'll play he'll be like the drunk, like often he plays like his character's drunk and stuff like that. But this time he was more responsible and more like humble in a way and down to it. But he, yeah. And then the director of this film, if you don't know, is the one and only Neil Blomkamp.
Uncle Neil.
Who's a South African.
Uncle Neil. Yeah.
So he did the likes of District 9. He did Chappie. He did Elysium, which we also
I felt the graphics.
Yeah, no, it was
I
very
loved
cool.
What he did to the graphics. Yeah, the especially the he's got the whole augmented reality kind of thing going on.
Yes.
And like the detail and the angles.
Yeah. And what they did with this film was actually incredible, because like if you watch a lot of like the behind the scenes footage and stuff, which you can see behind us, they would
behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes.
There he is.
They would they literally like strapped cameras to cars, and they would follow these racing cars, but they didn't. So sometimes what they'll do to film racing scenes is they'll film it, the cars will drive slower and then they'll speed it up. But this, they didn't do that. They filmed the races at like at the actual speed. They had a whole lot of like drivers, but like actual professional drivers. In fact, the story is set always about a person named Jan Mardenborough. That's the guy's name. And he was his actual stunt driver. So in the movie, you have the actor. His name's Archie. He's got a very long surname. I can't remember his surname now. It's also with an M. But he plays Jan. Yeah. But then his stunt driver is the actual driver that they're making the movie about, which I actually thought was pretty cool. Like, it's like, yay, I get to be myself. You get to be myself stunt person. Yeah.
Pretend like I'm me.
And then the other thing that they did was crazy. I don't know if you saw this, but they built... So what they would do is they'd have the car, but then they would build a rig on top of the car, which is where the actual driver would sit.
Oh, yeah.
And then inside the interior of the car, they'd put the actor, but the actor wouldn't be able to control the car. So in other words, the part of the car that was actually... the part that controlled the car wasn't the normal, you know, interior of the car. It was actually they'd built this little like rig on top of the car, which is also really weird. But like so the actual driver was sitting on top on the roof with this like rig, and then inside the car they would put the actor. But what they said what was nice with that was then they actually got the actor's like genuine like response and genuine experience in a way while they were busy acting out the scenes.
I know what that must feel like, especially for someone who drives, the steering wheel's in front of you, and you're coming up to a corner at like high speed. Like, imagine that feeling, and now you have to act. I'm sure it took a couple of takes for them to just
to
really
get
into
it. Yeah. And then on top of that, like, they had drones flying. So like from a stunt perspective, this film was insane. But one of the things they did say was they performed the stunts. They were incredible stunts, but they were also safe. Like they were, yeah. And then I found this very interesting. So apparently a local South African. Now I actually picked this up because if you watch the behind the scenes footage, there's a specific driver that they speak about or that they introduce. And then he often will comment on like what's happening. And this driver, he was speaking and I was like, this guy is so South African. Like, you know, you can just hear the South African accent. And apparently he's a local South African professional race car driver and sim racer. His name's David Perel.
That sounds very...
And he basically cold emailed director Neil offering his assistance, and Neil responded within 5 minutes, and over the next 7 months, Perel had the opportunity to be on set providing advice on all things racing. How cool is that?
So it probably would have gone something like, hey, but check, you're making a movie, eh? So, like, how about you put me in the car there? I'd like to be your driving supervisor.
Yeah.
What'd you say, but? Let me know. You know?
Thanks, he could hear yeah. the accent over the email and then
just,
like...
Just call me on my Vodacom number.
My Vodacom number.
Otherwise, my cell C number. Just see for yourself, eh?
This became a very South African joke. Okay, anyway, back to our... Cool, for bro. Our international listeners. So then also this... I thought this was crazy. So the actual guy himself, Jan... When he was hired for GT, he had absolutely... He'd never, like, driven a car before. So, like, he literally... It's crazy what he was able to
achieve. So, I guess that
would
have been easy for him to just kind of... Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
weird. But then also Archie. So, his name's Archie Madekwe. I don't know how to pronounce his surname. Yeah. But that guy, yes. He acts as Jan in the film. He also apparently didn't know how to drive before going into this film. So he literally had to learn not only how to be a professional like GT racer, but he had to actually learn how to drive. And I think it was the South African driver what's his name? David. David is the one that actually got him up to scratch with the whole driving and all of that. But I thought that was pretty interesting.
So Neil probably would have been like, hey, Dave, would you mind just showing this boy key over here to drive, eh? No problem, Neil. Got you. How long do you need, eh? Just give me 5, eh? All right, cool.
Give me 5.
Shut up. And then wow. 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's actually quite incredible, the fact that he was his own stunt driver as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
You see, there's one thing about movies.
No, he wasn't. Wait, what did you just say?
He was his own stunt driver.
Who was his own stunt driver?
Arch is his name.
No, he wasn't his own stunt driver.
Wasn't.
The actual Jan was the stunt driver.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's Jan
oh,
in
I
real
see
life.
What you
and
say.
Then there's Archie who plays Jan. Right. So Archie played Jan, but Jan was his own stunt driver.
Yeah.
As in his, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Which I'm sure Jan would have called. I mean, Neil would have called him Jan.
Jan. Yeah, definitely.
Jan.
Definitely. Yeah. So it was a pretty interesting film. I feel like I need to spoil this. It happened in real life, okay? So, I don't know. Did you expect the accident to happen?
I kind of read about the story. I was wondering yeah. if it was going to come up.
They apparently were going to leave it out, but then for me it was like that really added to the story. Mm. I must be honest, so I didn't read about the story beforehand.
You need some kind of change swing in the story.
So for me, I was watching and I got the sense of like, what if he died in a car crash? I don't know why I got that sense.
That would make the story cool.
And
it would have made the movie cool.
Go watch Ford versus Ferrari.
Would have been unexpected.
Just go watch Ford versus Ferrari then.
Very unexpected.
Wow. But then like I was watching it. Next minute, this car. And also how it happened is crazy.
Hectic,
because like this specific part of this track, this happens a lot where cars, because of just how it works, cars can become airborne. So literally you watch how the car, he's going and next minute from the nose of the car, it lifts. And next minute he's just, like the car's vertical and it's just going. And I was like, is he dreaming? Because at that point you weren't like sure.
I believe I can fly.
And then he had an accident. And I think at that point, I actually stopped the movie and went to search if this really happened because I was shocked. And I watched the actual accident. Have you seen the actual accident's footage?
Mid-crash, I think.
Did you actually watch the actual accident?
I'm trying to think if I didn't it flip. It more did like flips.
No, but it also it did the whole vertical thing.
Yeah, I remember seeing it.
But
there.
I was just like, oh, flip. I was glad that he didn't die. Unfortunately, one of a spectator did one person, a couple of people were injured, but one person unfortunately did actually pass away. But that was I'm glad that they didn't leave that out. And then another difference in the film from real life is that they use the Le Mans, which I only found out about it when I watched Ford versus Ferrari. But in the film, they kind of use that to redeem Jan as like a, let's get you back into the racing world and prove that as it, because in the film, they portrayed it as people were saying because he was a GT, like he played it on PlayStation, that it was the reason why the accident happened, which actually wasn't fair because it had happened to other drivers before that. But they said, let's win Le Mans and then that will like redeem you type of thing. Now, I actually think the accidents happened in real life. The accidents happened after he had already competed in Le Mans. So that was changed slightly. And as far as I know, he didn't win Le Mans. He came third. So he did make the, what do they call it? The pedestal?
Yeah.
Or the, but he didn't win. But yeah. And also he wasn't the first winner of GT. So in the film, they portrayed it as he was the first person to come into GT and win. It wasn't the case. Two other people had won before him, so he was the third person to win GT.
Oh, great.
And also in the film they portrayed that there were female drivers. That also wasn't a thing. So they did like change a few things up. Was this film better than Ford versus Ferrari?
No,
not a chance. No way. And that was also based on a true life story. Yeah, no, this one doesn't come close. Ford versus Ferrari was solid. Mm. Was it a good film? Yes, yeah. I enjoyed it. It was a good film.
It was a good film.
Yeah, but it wasn't... Yeah, Ford versus Ferrari was incredible.
And would you say that if you're not... You know, if another car film or... I'm not really a racing person... You know, like...
I don't think you need to be a racing person. Yeah. I think what was nice about this was they brought in the whole PlayStation, that whole... Because obviously that's where he originated from. So I thought that was very cool, the way they did that. And I would definitely say for a Neil Blomkamp film, it looked incredible. The cinematography, the way he did, I really enjoyed it. Often his films have this very dark, grungy look to it. Like if you think of District 9 and Elysium, it's got this very like this. I felt like he stepped out of what he's previously done, which I enjoyed, because it's nice to when a director kind of does something different type of thing.
Yeah.
So I did enjoy that. Yeah.
Definitely. I would say that a lot of like the CG stuff that I spoke about, like the AR kind of things that you know, the camera's rotating and then you see like the parts, you know, that I was like, yep, there you go. There's Neil. Because of the previous films and the amount of CG, the computer generated stuff that he involves, I was like, yep. And it comes out of nowhere. It's just, and you're like, oh, yeah, cool.
Wow. Mm. Yeah, no, that was pretty cool.
It looked great.
Yeah, it did
CG
look great.
It looked really, really great.
Yeah.
And especially the integration from where you're sitting in a racing, like in a normal chair, like a game, into the way that it transitioned into like the game or the real track. I was like, ah, that's cool.
Mm.
Very good. Very smooth.
And even, yes, the way they did that.
Integration.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. That's basically explains it, the integration. Yeah, so Gran Turismo, great film. Pretty. With the swearing, there was swearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't, and there wasn't, I don't remember nudity. So it's not but the swearing, no. I suppose that's the only thing about the film would have been that.
We still need that app.
Yeah, we need that app. Yeah. But now, moving on to the Oscars, because the Oscars legit just happened. Who won what? Ha! Are you ready, Ryan?
Let's go.
Okay, so basically, Oppenheimer took like everything. Okay, they didn't take everything, but they took like a lot. So I'll just go through quickly the different categories. So actor in a leading role, Cillian Murphy took for Oppenheimer, which I'm actually glad. I feel like Cillian Murphy deserves to be an Oscar winner.
Yep.
Yeah. So that I was happy about. And then actor in supporting role, Sir Robert Downey Jr. got that. Has he received an Oscar before? Or was this his first?
Can't say. I don't remember. Don't know.
He might have already. But he won Best Supporting. Then actress in leading role. Now, this surprised me. Although, no, not really. But so Emma Stone won for Poor Things. Poor Things looks like a very good film. The only thing is I checked the parental guide and the nudity is quite intense within the film, which you kind of like. But Mark Ruffalo's also in Poor Things. So, yeah, but she won for that. And then actress in supporting role, Divine Joy Randolph won for the Holdovers. I don't know. I haven't watched it. I think she also won other... otherwise, but she was up against like the likes of Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer and America Ferrera for Barbie. So yeah, then animated film was The Boy and the Heron. I haven't watched that though. That one over Elemental and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Wow. Maybe we should go watch that film.
Yeah.
Okay, cinematography. Guess who won? Oppenheimer, which was Hoyt van Hoytema.
That guy's been in, he's been working a lot with
Christopher Nolan.
Chris, there we go. Yeah, from... Sure, I think at least he's lost two or three films. Eh?
Yeah. Okay, costume design. This one surprised me as well. It was not Barbie.
Thank goodness.
It was Poor Things again. So the Oscars this year really went Oppenheimer, and then Poor Things actually won quite a bit. Director was...
Christopher Nolan
for Oppenheimer. Documentary feature film was 20 Days in Mariupol. I didn't watch it. And then film editing was...
Christopher Nolan.
Oppenheimer. No, Jennifer Leigh, but Oppenheimer. International feature film was...
That's
a film
also the person that he usually uses for editing.
Is it?
Her name...
I can't remember.
Her name does ring a bell. But yeah. I could be completely wrong.
Then makeup and hairstyling was Poor Things again. So it really was like a toss-up between Poor Things and Oppenheimer. Music, original score, Oppenheimer won. And then music, original song, and they've been winning, was Billie Eilish for What Was I Made For, which is a Barbie. That was from Barbie. Not I'm Just Ken, sorry. But I think he did perform. I think he performed I'm Just Ken at the Oscars. So if you want to go watch that. There was also actually an incredible performance by, what's his name? Andrea Bocelli and his son. And they performed... I think the song is called All the Fallen Angels. I stand to be corrected. But it was for all of the people in the film industry that have passed away in the past year. And obviously, Matthew... Oh my goodness, I forgot his name. That Chandler from Friends, was his Matthew Perry. He obviously passed away in the past year. And then also apparently the head of the Academy. I can't remember his name, but it was pretty solid. Yeah. And Bocelli and his son performed it together. So that must have been quite incredible to witness. All right, then production design was Poor Things. Animated short film. Oh, wait, this is animated short film. Is War Is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko. I don't know what that is, but this is what I was getting excited for. Live action short film, The Wonderful World, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar one.
Wow, that's not
I was
not
like,
a...
yay, go The Wonderful World of Henry Sugar. Yeah, that one, I was happy for them. Visual effects, Godzilla Minus One. One.
We haven't seen that.
No, I haven't.
We have to see that then.
And then this one is the one I wanted to mention. So I don't know if you remember when we looked at the different awards that you could win for the Oscars, we spoke about Best Picture. Now, Best Picture is kind of like the award to win at the Oscars. It kind of sets your film apart like forever type of thing. It's not just like a yearly award, but it's kind of like this was a Best Picture for like the year 2024. Guess who won?
Oppenheimer.
Yep. So Oppenheimer really like really took the Oscars. Oppenheimer for me was a good film. The only thing I really didn't like, and for me it was quite what's the word, like
distressing.
Explicit was the nudity.
Shocking.
The nudity was hectic, and I was shocked because Christopher Nolan ain't that man. Like that's not him. But yeah, we were all like,
Chris.
What's happening?
What's going on, Chris?
And it was unnecessary. I feel like he could have done without it. Like, it really could have been expressed in other forms and other ways. So, yeah.
Hey.
But I'm glad for Cillian Murphy, you know?
Yes.
And the score was very good.
Yeah.
The score was very good, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, so that was the Oscars this year. Oppenheimer took it with Poor Things. Those two were like everywhere. Shane, do you know that Emily Stone, so she acts in Poor Things. She's, you know who that is. She was the chick from, she acted in The Amazing Spider-Man. She was Gwen. Her name was Gwen, right? Was it Gwen?
Yes.
It was Gwen, right? There's too many Spider-Man movies out there.
They're all Gwen.
But she was in, I think, the lobby. And at the time when Best... It was either costume or Best Production Design won. She heard that they'd won, but her reaction, Ryan, her legit reaction was crazy. Like, it was insane. The way she literally stopped, screamed. We'll play it, Ryan. I'll show it to you. We'll play it for you now. But it was crazy, her reaction. Shame, I felt, I was just like, she loves her crew, man. Yeah. So those were sorry, I said 100 and something. I think it was either the 94th or the 96th Academy Awards. It was, I'll tell you now, the 96th Academy Awards. In 2024. Yeah. So that was right. That was the Oscars. Hot off the press.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, this has been The Movie Show.
On Active FM.
Until next week.
Cheerio.
Peace.